God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be a father to him, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth his first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he saith, who maketh his ministers, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thine hand. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture thou shalt fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit thou on my right hand, until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to them who shall be the heirs of salvation? And following this, I want you to notice these words especially. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. The reason that Paul gave that exhortation is this, that all that first chapter has been showing the glories of the Son of God. And then he says, therefore. That word therefore is very important. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed. He is talking to Christians. He is talking to saints. But above all, he is talking to sons of God. Oh, please do not forget that. The book of Hebrews becomes a new book. The body of Christ becomes a new element altogether when you see that that whole first chapter of Hebrews is written regarding Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But God has other sons in the making. of which Jesus Christ is the head. How wonderful it is that in the 10th chapter of Hebrews, he said, "Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire, but a body hast thou prepared for me." Oh, hallelujah! A body hast thou prepared for me. And Paul says, "Ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular." How I pray with all my heart and soul and spirit and mind and body that God's dear saints will get away from looking at little groups and calling them the body of Christ. That you'll get away from looking at denominations and calling that the body of Christ. No, that is not the body of Christ. The body of Christ is that glorious company of saints who are baptized by one Spirit into one body, whose lives are being fashioned and molded by the glory and power of God, who are being changed from day to day by His Spirit into that same image. And when you read that first chapter of Hebrews and then read that verse, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Why, it's so easy for people to say, "I'm in Christ," or sign their letters, "Yours in Christ." My dear brother, it is something altogether. When we grow up into Him, which is the head, from whom the whole body, by joints and bands, is rising to form a habitation for God in the Spirit. Or as Weymouth in his beautiful translation says, that the body is rising to form a fixed abode for God. And when John was on the island of Patmos, and he saw the glory of what God was doing, he saw not the lonely Galilean. He saw him as the head, with hair as white as wool, and eyes as a flame of fire. But then he saw that glorious body. My, how marvelous that was, that glorious body. And when he saw it, he fell down as a dead man. It just took his breath away, and it took his life away, and he just could not stand what he was looking at. It was so exceeding glorious. My dear brother, I hope, my dear sister, I hope that from this day forward you will take your understanding of the body of Christ very seriously, and you will ask God to reveal it to you by His Spirit, that God in these last days and for the last 2,000 years has been preparing a habitation for Himself, and that habitation is the mystical body of Christ. Oh, how wonderful and how glorious that really is. Now the great Apostle Paul, when he was writing to the Romans, in the 12th chapter, I want to read a few verses from that, because it is on the basis of the 12th chapter that I wanted to bring you this talk about the body of Jesus Christ. So he says in verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, that is, these physical bodies, that you present your bodies, now hear this, a living sacrifice. The next word is holy. And the next, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And here is one that everybody in the 20th century, and especially this last part of it, where all is for pleasure and all for the world, when perilous times are here in every respect. Therefore, he says, and be not conformed to this world. You are a pleasure-loving, picture-show-loving, television-loving, desiring to have every imaginable thing for your convenience physically, then this includes you. And he says, be not conformed to this world, but, oh, hear this, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. We have the mind of Christ, Paul says. Have we? Well, if we haven't, and I'm sure that we're a long, long way from the fullness of it. He says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That is where the saints, the in-Christed saints, should be living. Not running with the world, not trying to be like them, not trying to grab their pleasure, but as the song says, that all our pleasures in Him are found. What Jesus is all this poor world needs today, blindly they strive, for sin darkens their way. Oh, to draw back the grim curtain of night. One glimpse of Jesus, and all would be right. Yes, let us keep our eyes upon Him, and as we do, we will be changed into that same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. When he says here, be not transformed to the world, conformed to the world, but transformed, in the Greek, the word transform is the same word as transfigured, the word that was used when the disciples went up into the mountain. They saw Jesus Christ transfigured, and it was so glorious that they fell down there, and they were terribly afraid. And when Paul says, we shall be changed into that same image, it's the same word. Transform, transfigure. When it says, we shall be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, it's the same word. We shall be transfigured, transformed, caught up, praise God, into the glory of Himself. Now I must hurry a little bit along here because the time goes so fast. But I made a note here many years ago concerning the human body, and I wanted to read it to you this morning because it is about the body of Christ we are speaking, and the human body is fashioned after the body of Christ. I am not sure, really, whether the body of Christ is fashioned after the human body or the human body is fashioned after the body of Christ. But I do know that the human body with which we at least think we are so familiar is the greatest type and symbol of the spiritual body of Christ in all the world or in all the universe. For the body of Christ is the very image of this that we see. Man's body has 900 muscles, 1,000 miles of blood vessels, 350 main arteries, 1,500,000 sweat glands. The lungs are composed of 7,700,000 cells. At 70 years of age, the heart has lifted by its throbs 500,000 tons of blood. The nervous system has 3 trillion nerve cells. The blood has 30 million white corpuscles and 100 trillion red corpuscles. Each minute in every man's body, some 150,000 radioactive carbon atoms go pop, releasing a total and wonderfully made, that then we can have more respect and understanding for the glorious and wonderful body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he says here in the 12th chapter of Romans, I say through the grace given to me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. I don't like to hear people sort of boasting about we are the body, we're the Christ, we're in Christ. Don't take those things lightly, my friend, because if you are, that is by all means the most serious thing in the world. It's the most tremendous issue that you will ever face in all eternity, is this glory of being a member of the Christ. He prayed to the Father, I in thee and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. Just think of that. God is in Christ. Christ is in God. Christ is in us. We are in Christ. Oh, the very thought of it all separates me from the world and all the lust thereof, that I may live, praise God, in Him, not having mine own righteousness, but the righteousness of our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. If by any means I may attain unto the resurrection of the dead, or the resurrection out from among the dead ones. Now then, dear friends, let us see in verse 5, so verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, I just read you a whole list of wonderful things about your physical body. As we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many. Now hear this. This is the most important thing. So we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. We are members of Christ. In one spirit, we are all baptized into His glorious body. But He says, we are also members one of another. If we could see that instead of this rather silly teaching that the churches have. Try to show love, brother. Try to show love. Oh, you don't have to try to show love to the members of your own body. I've never known the time yet when my hand has tried to offend my foot. I've never known a time yet when my eye didn't cooperate with my ear. So we're all members of one glorious body, and that body is the body of our wonderful Christ that is rising to form a fixed abode for God through the Spirit. Medical science and men of great wisdom and understanding have studied the human body now for centuries. And they find out that they are still a million miles from understanding its complexity. And when they think they have answers to some of the greatest questions, a little later on they find that they were all wrong altogether. And so if the human body, which is only made out of the dust of the ground, is so complex, that all it is dust and will return to dust and ashes, then, oh, how glorious must be the body of the Son of God, of which we are all members in particular. Really, a subject like this is too great for any human being. Oh, that God by His Spirit would come and reveal the glory of it to our hearts, so that from this day forth we would have an understanding of that which God has been doing for the past 2,000 years and will eventually fill the whole universe with His marvelous and wonderful glory. This is the temple of the Lord. This is the habitation of God through the Holy Ghost. Now he says, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Isn't it a remarkable thing that your foot has one ministry? Your hand has an entirely different one. Your every finger on your hand has a different ministry than every other one, although they're all similar. Isn't it a remarkable thing that your eyes can see? Oh, what a precious gift. That your ears can hear? Oh, what a wonderful thing. That your nose is able to pick up scent and tell you all manner of things that neither your eyes nor ears can tell. Isn't it a wonderful thing to put something in your mouth and be able to taste it? But that's another ministry, you see. Isn't it a wonderful thing to put forth your finger and be able to tell if a thing is hard or soft or hot or cold, or sharp, or dull, and 100 other things. You go into a supermarket sometime and just see how often you put forth your finger to touch something. You don't even notice that you do that which you do. You peel a banana to find out if it's too soft or too hard. You peel a grapefruit to find out if it's got a rotten part inside. You do this all the time, and all these wonderful things minister to the human body, and they minister to the world around about you. And so also the body of Christ is literally full of ministries, wonderful ministries. And it is about some of those ministries, or one especially, that I would like to speak to you this morning, though I feel that the subject is so large that I cannot possibly confine it to one message, and we will have to take a little time a little bit later on to speak about it in more particular. Now, my